Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-host, Steve and Stacy Jade. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to encourage dialogue across ages, genders, sexual orientation, religious backgrounds, and sex. So feel free to join in the discussion. We want to know what you think.
And welcome to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. I am so delighted to have you guys listen in today because here's a topic that I think we all deal with in an unconscious way, some of us more consciously. And so we're going to go right into our topic today. So our topic this Sunday is, have men and women broken their social contracts in modern relationships? So before we go ahead and get started talking about it, as always, I want to introduce my co-host, Steve and Fatima. Hey, you guys.
Hello, hello.
Hey, all right.
So, Steve, I'm going to let you kick off this topic today because this was one of your topics, and it's, I definitely think, a good topic for us to talk about. So I want you to talk about how you came about with this particular issue that we're going to address today.
Thank you, Dr. Guy. Well, I think what we need to look at is relationships in general, where they started and where they're at currently. Some of the confusion comes, I think, in relationships, especially nowadays, from roles and how those are attached to each specific partner. In the past, you know, in the baby booming generation, the man would provide, the woman would be the homemaker. You know, that was kind of the setup that was in that generation because women had limited access to work and resources. Now that we've kind of progressed through the feminist movement and women do have access to resources and are able to take care of themselves and have a different approach in their dating because of that. So traditionally, you know, there was an expectation for men and women and everybody knew what that was. But I think as we've gone on in society, those expectations are real murky and they really are on a case-by-case basis. I think, and I've expressed this, that, you know, women have changed because of their access to resources, and they've expected men to stay the same a lot of times. Women now you know, men, we actually compete for the same jobs, but women still expect for chivalry, which in most cases that's opening doors and paying for dates. So for someone who financially may be my equal or my superior, it's somewhat confusing on why that burden should still be on the man. And there's some cases where men expect women to stay as a man. So that overall leads to the breach in the social contract that we have that give some balance as well as some clarity in relationships. You know, I've seen several memes now where women say they're looking for a sugar daddy, but they don't want to give up any sugar. Well, that in itself is a breach of the social contract. The whole idea of a sugar daddy is, you know, for him to provide resources and you provide access. So if you are now saying you want a sugar daddy, but you don't want to provide sugar, that's a breach of the social contract.
Okay, see, you know, I was following you up into the last part of the sugar daddy. So I'm going to actually go to Fatima, who actually specializes in working with couples in marriage and family therapy. So, Fatima, when you hear this idea behind social contract in a relationship, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I think in all relationships, whether it's a romantic relationship, a work relationship, a friendship, I think there is a social contract that we all sign, so to speak, in every type of relationship. I think that part of the problem is that unlike perhaps in a business relationship where the expectations are clearly laid out and agreed upon, you negotiate your contract. And even in friendships, because a lot of times we find ourselves being friends with people who tend to maybe think the way we think on certain things. But in relationships and in intimate partner relationships, what happens a lot of times is we aren't necessarily clear about those expectations. And so what ultimately happens is that there's a breach in the contract, not because women are changing and wanting men to be the same or even vice versa, but mostly because we aren't having clear conversations and really coming to a clear agreement on what our expectations are. So if I have an expectation that, you know, in this dating relationship, as a woman, I don't pay for dates, and then he agrees to be in that relationship with me and that's the dating relationship we're going to have, then if he balks at that, he is breaking the social contract because that's something that he agreed to. So I think that people have to be clear about what their expectations are. It's not because one gender has changed because they enter the workforce or they're making more money. It's because people aren't having these important conversations. And it doesn't even have to do with just dating. I mean, it's you whether or not you want to have kids. You know, people get married all the time and don't even have conversations about whether or not they want to have kids. So for the person who does, the person who doesn't is breaking the contract, but they really aren't breaking the contract because we never had a clear agreement.
I totally agree with that statement, Fatima, that every relationship has a social contract. And often these are unspoken contracts and sometimes spoken. You know, when you think about platonic relationships, there are these social contracts. You have an expectation of what a friendship means to you and vice versa for the person that you're in a relationship with. But I want to go back to something you said, Steve. You said that women, because of the empowerment movement with women and really tied to feminism, that women now have a different expectation of men, or men, women have the same expectation of men, but you're saying that men haven't changed their expectations for women, or that they have?
No, I think that they have, but I think that what happens is men are confused. If there was one model for us to follow, I think that, you know, we would be pretty clear. but because there are some women that, you know, like I said, want to abuse the unstated social contracts. I think that's pretty much what the problem is a lot of times, is there are things that are, like you said, unstated or unsaid. I don't think that we have men signing up to say that, hey, I'm dating you, I'm paying for all dates. Like, I've never been in a situation where that's happened. But that's been assumed because of that specific woman. Some women do, some women don't. But I guess what I'm saying is,
I'm one of the women who does.
Collectively,
I'll just say, in my dating life, I always say, I don't think a woman should touch the check or the door on a date. So I'm very clear about that, and it's never been an issue in my dating life.
So once again, I've never dated you, so I commend you for your approach. But in my dating life, it's been something that hasn't necessarily been communicated. And I think that that is more common than not. So it is those unwritten rules that people have or expectations. And what I'm saying is, to me, that is a breach of the social contract in terms of, if I'm doing X, then you should do Y. And we have a lot of X going on sometimes and not a lot of Y going on, or a lot of Y going on and not a lot of X going on. So that's what I'm saying, just the idea of the breakdown of the social contract. And to me, you know, what I see more often than not is women taking advantage. You know, like, I don't understand why I should pay for all dates if we are in a similar economic position. You know, because to me that puts me in an economic disadvantage, and I'm not going to put myself in that situation. Because to me, and this is just me, when a woman shares her body as well as her finances, then I know she's really into me. If she's just coming to eat, then I don't know what I'm really getting into, if I'm funding all of our fun or excursions. So there needs to be a level of buy-in for me to feel comfortable continuing our interactions.
Very interesting. So if I'm following you, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. So the only way that you believe a woman is serious about you is if she's having sex with you?
No. I said, for me, there are ways that I will understand that there is an interest. One is physical. The second one is financial. And definitely if both are there, I really believe you. You know, one or the other isn't necessarily something that really pushes me to the point where I really believe you're interested. But when you're sharing your finances as well as your personal space, I really think you're interested in me. You know, there's some women that physical interaction is nothing, as much as them sneezing and you passing them a Kleenex. But, you know, because I have been in the environment where I've dated women who have been male entertainment providers, they will have sex with you before they buy you anything or give you any money. So money and resources is always a way to determine how much someone is interested in you.
So Steve, what one of our listeners just responded to you by saying you want to feel like she's invested in the relationship, and her investment looks like physical engagement. It looks like financial measures. And so all of those things together show investment. It's not the fact that you don't think men should pay for dates. It's that you just think that there should be a social contract between the two where both parties are equally invested. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. That's another way of putting it, but yeah, definitely. But I guess what I'm saying, previously women weren't financially vested because they couldn't be. Now what I see is we have some women that are not financially vested when they could be, but they are saving those resources for themselves for whatever reason. Whereas I think there needs to be an update in the social contract that if you are interested in a male, then you should be willing to spend your resources as well.
So this is less about a social contract being broken and more about who's paying for dates, because I feel like that's the main thing that
no, I mean, that's
I feel
that's
like it seems
example.
Like that's the main thing that you're talking about. Like, but
no.
I think in – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's not the main thing. I mean, I think that's just one of the points that's easily outlined.
So social contract, though, includes multiple things. Like, part of that social contract, like Fatima mentioned, having a discussion about, hey, do you want kids? I don't. Do you? Even before, let's say, that those people are married. But these are conversations that people don't have. For example, talking about who's better with their finances. You know, typically one person in the relationship is better with the finances than the other person. But they don't talk about that until now they're married and financially they're in the hole because one mate isn't as good if they didn't have those conversations before. So that's part of that social contract that isn't discussed. Like, I think it's more than just, you know, who's paying for a bill while you're dating. There are so many other parts that go into the social contract that people just aren't having
Absolutely.
Conversations about. Like, as a clinician, one of the things, and Fatima maybe can speak to this too, is that when we first meet with a client, we're doing this full-blown assessment. And in that assessment, we're asking questions dating back, you know, like, did your mama and daddy have, you know, any alcohol or substance abuse, mental health issues? I mean, we're asking all these questions. So now as the individual who's potentially dating, those are the same questions that are running through my mind that I'm like, hey, let me ask you these questions because this is going to tie into this social contract that I'm working on developing. So you go into relationships with people not knowing anything about their history, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical, and they're just not having these discussions. And now they're married, and now they want to talk about the problems that they have, which are part of the social contract that was never discussed in the beginning.
Well, in that case, is it really the social contract we're talking about or the lack of identifying roles in a relationship? Because I think those are two different things.
Well, but I think that all of that falls under this umbrella, right? Because, and even that, roles in a relationship, that's a case-by-case kind of basis. You mentioned something earlier, and you said men are confused because we don't have, like, a clear, there's no clear outline. That those weren't your exact words, but that I
right.
feel like
Correct.
It's sort of what
Correct.
You said. But I think
yeah.
that in and of itself is part of the problem because men are looking for a one-size-fits-all. I even feel like certain men have this philosophy about sex, you know, like they've been really great doing A, B, and C with so many women, and then they're shocked when they get with a woman that A, B, and C doesn't work for her. And so I think that men need to stop looking for a one-size-fits-all and be with and learn and understand the woman that is in front of them. So for some women, they enjoy traditional gender roles, and they want him to go out and slay the dragon and bring home the bacon, and she'll fry it up and be barefoot and pregnant, and that is the dream of her life. And then there are other women who have no interest in being stay-at-home moms and want to get out and be in the workforce and work. And if we're both working 40-hour weeks, I expect you to cook the same way I'm going to cook, and I expect you to clean the same way I'm going to clean. So I think that these talking about, like, the roles, role of a man, role of a woman, then versus now, let's just operate in the now, and let's just operate with the people that we are dealing with and stop being so stuck in how things used to be, because most of us weren't even alive when things used to be the way they were. So we don't even really know.
One of the things that Steve, you've mentioned this before when we talk about relationships and whether it's marriage or committed relationships, and you always describe it as it being a business venture or a business partnership. And so before, when you used to say that, I really struggled with that concept in my head. Like, that just sounds so abrasive. It's nothing about that sounds like it makes sense. But now it makes more sense to me when I think about a business arrangement or a business partnership. and what goes into that. And so both parties have to communicate what their expectations are in order for this to be a mutual benefit, right? Like, you don't want to go into business with someone and one party benefits and the other one doesn't. So it makes more sense to me now that relationships really are business ventures. And so a lot of people are making bad business plans or making bad business investments into people without really communicating what their expectations are and what they're going to do. And I think that, Steve, you've kind of talked about that before, that women have a lot of expectations about what they want, but they're not willing to talk about what they're going to do. But I think it goes both ways in that, in those scenarios.
Well, definitely. I mean, originally, you know, business, I mean, marriage was a business arrangement. It was about, you know, getting two families together to further the brand and the resources of the two families. Romantic love is something that's relatively new. I want to say possibly in the 18th century. So now that we've tried to blend the two, it's been, you know, very difficult to do because it's not really the original nature of what marriage was supposed to be. And, you know, we struggle to find those balances. You know, I definitely think that, you know, roles are important, and a lot of times they go undefined. You know, I think these are some of the main problems. Even if you look at, you know, the rise in bisexuals, alternate relationships, a lot of that I think is because there hasn't been a clear idea of what those roles are and assigned to a male or a female in a lot of family situations.
You mentioned that on the last show that I was co-hosting, and I didn't get a chance to respond to it. It bothered me then, so I'm going to say something about it now. I completely and vehemently disagree with you with regards to sexual orientation being determined by what a home structure may have looked like, and there's it's too much research out there to refute what you're saying. So I can't even co-sign that. But what I will say is I do agree with the initial point that you were saying about the business aspect of marriage. And historically, yeah, it definitely was based in a lot of times, like, there's this, I guess, business, so to speak, component of it, for power, bringing families together, resources, finances. So a lot of times in the case of the woman, she was really just like a piece of property to be passed from her father's house to her husband's. So I'm really glad that that's not the case today. I think that maybe some of the struggles that we're seeing and the thing that men and women are having a hard time negotiating is I think that there are a lot of men who maybe have this kind of traditional mindset and they're having a hard time with women not continuing to buy into those traditional roles. So I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I agree. I think that there are conversations that aren't being had. I think I actually agree with what you said about women, you know, having these expectations for some traditional things on one hand, maybe ways that benefit them, and not having traditional views on the other side. And part of that really, I still at the end of the day think that breaks down to conversation and whether or not you're interested in doing that. So, but I think that it's not one more than the other. Like, I think in the same way that women are, or some women are wanting to maintain certain traditional things and not others, I think that there are men who are struggling with a lot of women who don't want to have a lot of these traditional aspects in their relationship.
Well,
so, Tima, you may
mention
something.
I think you made some good points.
Oh, Fatima, one of the, and I'm surprised that Steve even agrees with you, but you made mention to negotiating, and what came to mind is that there are so many articles that talk about how women, unfortunately, do not negotiate the same way that men negotiate in the business world. Even when it comes to negotiating their salaries or negotiating what it is that they want to do or the expectations that an employer has for them,
absolutely,
men do a much better job of negotiating. So if you're taking that same concept and you're applying it to relationships, there becomes this failed or lack of communication between the two, because I think one party negotiates better than the other, and unfortunately one is now unhappy about the situation that they're in because they're not getting their needs met. But again, they have not been addressed, nor have they negotiated those concerns. If you guys are just tuning in, our topic today is, have men and women broken their social contracts in modern relationships? And for those of you that are listening online, if you have a comment and you want to share in our discussion, the number is 914-205-5902. And you guys, I am going to go to the phone lines because we do have a caller. Caller at 312,
yes.
You're on the air.
How
are
you doing, Dr. Guy? This is Malik Rahim.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I kind of think that Steve is right.
Now don't say that so begrudgingly.
No. I'm sorry, because see, the thing about it is, back to the topic, has the social contract been broken? And even the therapist even has to admit that they have, because see, the thing about it is this: in the past, there was a set gender role. When you got married, the woman was this, the man was this. It was the man's responsibility, it was the woman's responsibility. Marriage has always been a business contract, always. But unfortunately, we've been trying to make it out of an interpersonal relationship contract. But in actuality, even in an interpersonal relationship contract, it is a business contract. So now, since the roles have started to shift and change and metamorphose itself into a change, and that there's no communication between a man and a woman on what is being expected, then therefore the social contract has been broken. That's why a lot of marriages are breaking down, because of the fact that the partners are not getting what they're signed up for. I humbly believe that a lot of women actually want to go back to the traditional role where the man is in charge.
Hold on. Are you feeling
that? I got to go right now. In actuality, yes. I'm doing this in data. But the thing about it is this: a lot of women, I would be willing to bet you, will want to go back to traditional roles. Because when you really think about it, is this: since the roles have been metamorphosed and changed, divorce rates have been going up, marriages have been going down, and the whole thing about it is this: there's no communication on what is actually the roles in the marriages anymore. So the thing about it is, in the context of that, and he's right. He's absolutely right. And until both parties are open. I'm sorry?
I'm really speechless about, is it that women want to go back to those traditional roles? Do you honestly believe that women want to go back to not having the opportunities or the means to leave a relationship if necessary and being confined to the house as a housewife?
When I say traditional roles, let me explain something. When I say traditional roles, I don't mean, quote unquote, a housewife. What I mean is this: what they want is a man to be in charge. They want, because the thing about it is this: you can't have two people in charge. One person has to be in charge. So the thing about it is, even if it's a partnership, one person has to make the decision. So the decision has to be made eventually. So I really firmly believe, and you can look at the data, if you do a pseudo study on your couples, you will see that a lot of people are unhappy because because of the fact that there is no distinct person in charge. There's no direction.
So I'm not saying women don't want to work.
I'm not saying women don't want to work. I'm not saying women don't want careers. But see, the thing about it is this. When you look at your traditional role of the male is the head of the household, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm talking about.
So if women want men to be in charge, isn't this a man issue? Aren't men failing then if men aren't being in charge? I technically can't stop you from being in charge. Isn't part of being in charge means you lead with your finances, you lead with your deeds and your actions. Your actions are in alignment with your words. We like to romanticize and talk a lot about how things used to be. Well, you know what men used to do? They used to marry women. They used to get married. They didn't have women on hold for 5, 6, 7, 8 years before they decide to finally settle down. So I think this is a man issue with men not being in charge and men not taking leadership roles. If you want to show me how you lead, put a ring on it and lock it down. So I think
you need to take your brother in and talk to him about how to be in leadership. Beyonce, before you start talking about putting the ring on and locking it down, the thing about it is this. That's one of the problems. Everybody trying to put blame on somebody else. Oh, it's the woman's fault. It's the man's fault. No, it's both of their fault. It was just like I said at first, and just like he was saying, but he stopped. The communication has been broken down. Communication goes back and forth. It is not just one-sided. It takes a lot to be a leader, not just finance. So the thing about it is this. Before you start jumping up and saying, oh, see, that's a man's fault. No, it's both parties' fault.
You said only one person can be in charge. That means the buck has to stop somewhere. If there is one leader, there is one person whose feet it has to fall at. So if men are supposed to take their rightful roles as a leader that you said, and you said most women want men to be leaders, then we need men to step up to the plate and be those leaders. These are the words that you said. So I'm just following your logic.
Okay.
Well, let me jump in here real quick, Malik. I'm a leader, not a lion tamer. You know, if you want to follow me, that's fine, but I'm not about to jump in here and get these scratches trying to argue with this lion. Like, if you want to follow somebody, then you have to be in a position where you're going to submit. And I understand women's romanticizing marriage, but what has happened is because of the breach of the social contract, marriage is not a beneficial situation for men. We're financially raped. After we're divorced, we're still financially your husband and forced to provide, and that's not a situation that appeals to modern intellectual men in a lot of ways. And that's why you've seen it as a decline. I appreciate what you think, but you can look at the numbers and you can see why there's a decline in marriage.
There is a whole movement
where men have opted out of relationships because they've deemed it unfair and unreasonable for them to participate in.
But we're talking about being reactive. I think the whole concept about us talking about these social contracts is a way of being proactive, right? Like, if men and women, because I don't think it's a man's fault or a woman. I think it's people's fault, right? I think it's a couple's fault.
Correct.
Like, you can't have men being the blame or women being the blame, because truth be told, men are behaving in a way as a result of women, and women are behaving in a way as a result of men's behavior, which means there's fault on both sides, right? But what we do know that is failing is the concept of relationships that eventually leads to marriage. But part of that is the lack of communication. Like, if we wanted to be proactive about the situation, people would talk about their contracts. They would talk about, look, this is what I have an expectation for. But what happens, and I can only say based on my clinical experience with my clients, is that I get couples who will say, we dated for years, and it was wonderful. But, baby, when we got married, it went south. So now I have to figure out, well, what changed? Did the person change? Did their life, what changed? So in essence, what comes to it at the end of the day for most of these couples is what changed was the expectation. Because when they were dating, they had one set of expectations for this quote-unquote boyfriend or girlfriend. And when they got married, they had another set of expectations for what they believed a wife should do, what they believed a husband should do. But guess what? They didn't communicate that to each other. But somehow in their head, this was their expectation. Either this is what they saw, this is what they romanticized, whatever it was their ideology of what a marriage should be. So the expectation failed, whether it was on the female part or the male part. But that could have been averted if they talked about it before the marriage. And couples don't talk. They just don't. So I'm not going to fault this as a his or her. I'm going to fault it as a couple, because more couples should be engaging in this dialogue before they even say I do. Heck, by the third or fourth date, there are some deal breakers. But because you ain't talked about these deal breakers, you done went on to second, third year, and now you're in marriage talking about, well, if I knew about this a long time ago, we wouldn't be here. But you could have known about that if you had. So,
well, I think what also I'm running across is it may be across different demographical groups. A lot of my friends who may have been or have been either married or have been successful in their career are looking at a point where they are looking for someone to follow, and they don't want the burden as women anymore because they're tired. When I look at some of the younger people who have more of a, you know, equal idea of a relationship, they're looking for the best partner. They don't care who pays for the Uber. You pay for your Uber, I pay for my Uber. You know, you come to my house, I go to your house. So those younger relationships are reflecting more of a different tone, and they function a lot differently than some of the relationships I see from Generation X, Y, and the baby boomers. So I think that the social contract is more of a problem with the people in our world that are a little older, because they have a knowledge of what the social contract was and how it operated when they were dating initially. But for people who are a little younger, because they don't even have a knowledge of what those things were back then, they are operating totally differently.
Well, and I think also less resources. I think you have to take that into account. I mean, the way I dated as a 20-something is completely different than the way I date now. So I think absolutely. I said the way I dated as a 20-something is completely different than the way I date now in a lot of ways. And it looked a lot like what you just described with the younger generation. Like, I probably regularly had Dutch dates, but that's because we were all poor. So, you know, nobody had a career, nobody. So I think you have to take resources into consideration, too. Of course, the younger generation is going to look a lot different, and you're going to see a lot of what you just described. You know, I pay for my Uber, you pay for your Uber.
Well, I'm curious because my dating life looks the same. So, I still go to Starbucks or something simple or cheap at first because I don't even know if I like you yet. So, you know, my dating life mirrors what it did, you know, when I started dating. So I was kind of curious to what your dating life looks like, if you don't mind sharing.
I all of that kind of stuff is fair. Like, I don't have this idea. Well, for one thing, I'll say if we're talking about me personally, I don't plan a date. So I always tell a guy, whatever you plan, that's what we'll do. So if you plan for us to go somewhere that it's free, that's great. If you plan to take me somewhere that's $1 million, that's great too. So whatever you plan, that's what we'll do. So I love the idea of, you know, going to a Starbucks or whatever like that. And then if you decide you want to do something else, that's fantastic. But my bottom line is what I said earlier. If we're going on a date, if you're dating me, I don't pay for dates. in general, in my own personal opinion, I don't think women should pay for dates. Now, I'm not saying women shouldn't do nice things for their guy or buy things. I absolutely disagree. I think probably anybody that I've been in a relationship with would say I was a great girlfriend in that kind of way. So I'm not saying that, but particularly when it comes down to dates, is what I said earlier. I don't touch the check and I don't touch the door.
I'm not going to disagree. I don't think that I can only speak for me personally, right? This is my personal. This is not the, you know, statistical side of me that says, according to statistics, so-and-so. This is good old-fashioned me personally. I'm an equal opportunist. I think that I don't feel like the man should always carry the brunt of the bill. I think from time to time, if you switch off, maybe this is something that she wants to do, and so she says, hey, let's go do this, and I have it this weekend or this night. Like, I don't think that it should always come out of the guy's pocket. But, again, that's just me personally. I think that that's part of that investment piece for both parties. But I definitely think that if she offers, men can always decline and say, no, I have it, right? Which I think is always gentleman-like. But sometimes maybe they don't, right? Life happens to people. And in those events, he shouldn't have to feel burdened to take it on if she's able to. Because the reality is there are a lot of women that are doing well financially. And some of the things that a gentleman that she wants to do, the gentleman may not want to do that because he has other obligations. Especially as you're dating and up and you're older, sometimes men have kids that they're still supporting or in college, and maybe she doesn't have any kids, and so her finances are a little bit more open to do some things with. So I just think that there are definitely some situations where it can go on both sides, but this goes back to that contract, right? Like, as Fatima said, I believe that you should pick up the check every time. He needs to know
that,
right? Because if he ain't the pick, if he's not the picking up the check dude, IEC maybe, then he's not the dude that you're going to want to date. But at least he knows.
Well, no, I pick up the check. She just won't see me look like once every 2 weeks.
And, well, but I believe in giving people the opportunity to choose. So I'm very clear. I may be over-communicative, but I'm very clear about my expectations, about, you know, my wants and my needs. And I like to get that same thing back. So that way you give me the opportunity to choose whether or not I want to buy into this thing, and vice versa. You get to choose whether or not you want to ride this ride, because it's not for everybody. So, yeah, I think that's the
I definitely have that is so true, that everyone needs the ability to choose, right? And so when you communicate this up front, guys have that opportunity now to make the decision. So I have a question for both of you guys, and Fatima C says this all the time, that he's dated more women than I have, and since I've never dated a woman, he's 100% correct. So as far as dating women, and Fatima, as far as dating men, do you believe that the individuals do a good job of communicating their expectations early on, or do they leave it up to assumptions? Like, I'm just going to assume that you like this or you don't like this, or do you think it's more that people are doing a better job of communicating, or there's just a lot of assumptions going around?
I think it's a little different with me, just because I'm so direct and communicative, it almost forces someone to kind of, especially because, like, you know, some guys just kind of feel like, well, you know, I need to set a bottom line too, because if she's saying all of this stuff, well, then I need to say, and then, you know what I'm saying, and so we can kind of negotiate that. So I think for me, there is a lot of communication, but I will say for, you know, maybe clients that I've seen or even friends, I don't think that people necessarily do a good job, because a lot of times I find that when you really like someone, I think a lot of times people get into things hoping that that person is going to change. And if I'm being honest, that's usually women more often than men. And so you get into this situation, or you just hold it, right? So you just, you don't say anything, even though inside of you, what he's saying, you know that's not what you want, but you kind of go along with it until it just gets to a point where, you know what I'm saying? So now we're both mad because he's mad because he's wondering, why is she tripping? I told her from the get-go this is what it was. And then she's mad because she's kind of like, well, I figured, like, once he really started liking me, maybe this thing would change or maybe he would soften on this. And so that's, you know, it's one of those, to quote Maya Angelou, believe a person when they tell you who they are the first time. And if it's not something that you don't think, if it never changes, if, is it something you can live with if it never changes? And if you can't live with it, then it's not right for you.
You know what, Fatima? I loved everything about that, but in my head I'm thinking, you know what? She's a therapist. So that communication piece is almost like, and you're a therapist that does marriage and family therapy. So I know that for you, it's taking that knowledge and being able to apply it and say, okay, this is important for me to do. But for those listeners that are not therapists, and Steve, I want you to go ahead and answer the question next, but for those listeners that are tuning in now, do you feel like when you are engaging in these relationships with people that they are very forthright with saying, look, this is what I need, this is my expectation, and this is what I'm going to provide? Or do you believe that there's just a lot of assumptions that take place until you hit something head on and now you actually have to discuss, oh, well, I thought you were going to do that, and now it's a little bit too late? So, Steve, what has your experience been?
Well, you know, you and I have this conversation probably at least once a month about how I feel about women who tell me no. Like for every man who has ran across a woman that has told you no, if you had stopped, then you probably wouldn't be a man. So, you know, you need to show me no. I hear no a lot of times, but I really don't pay much attention to it. You know, like I said, no to me means
no, it's still
not
no.
For another 15, no means not for another 15 minutes.
No means no.
Not that, not the rapey no. Not the rapey no, not that no. But I'm just saying
general.
No, it doesn't. You know, and that
it
goes
sure
back
does.
To what I'm telling
but
you.
That didn't answer
a
my
lot
question.
Of times. No, no, I'm just saying a lot of times, you know, women, and not you all specifically, may want to do something but not necessarily take accountability for what it is. So there is a duplicity to some people's nature that you kind of need to be aware of. So no does not always mean no. To you it does, but to other people it does
it
not.
Does.
So,
but
no,
do you feel like
I'm just saying,
women are
in my dating life, in my dating life, no does
but
not always
do you
always
feel
mean
like
that.
Women are communicating to you? Do you feel like women are doing a good job in your experience of communicating up front, hey, dude, this is what I need, and also communicating to you, this is what I'm bringing to the table, right? Like, do you feel like this is being communicated, or it's more like I got to pull some teeth to find out what it is that she wants, what it is that she needs, but also what she has, what her expectations of me are? Like, is that the dialogue that you feel like has been taking place in your dating interaction?
Rarely. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things you look at with certain women is that they feel like they're the princess, so who wouldn't want the princess? You know, so they're not really communicative because of their egos and their viewpoints of themselves. You know, you may look at things a little bit differently the longer you have interactions, but that's generally something that a lot of women expect you to pick up on. You know, like I tell you, dating women is like being an astronaut, and every planet you go to has different rules. Some rules, the fish fly and the birds swim. Sometimes you can run faster skipping than sprinting. Like, you just got to get there, and I think this speaks to what the Fatima was talking about. You have to get there and understand that woman and her minutiae. So for men, it's a constant learning process if you're dating successfully. I think part of the problem is sometimes you have people that date lazily, and it's men and women. So there are things that they miss. Well, I'm going to kiss her on the ear because Tammy like that, but you don't know that Felicia hate when you touch her ear. You know what I'm saying? So there are things that you have to learn with every person that you have interactions with. Like some people say, hey, I don't kiss on the first date. I heard you, but 15 minutes later, I'll probably still going to try to kiss you. I don't care about that. You know, I know what you told me, but I need to see. You know, because a lot of times people tell you things, but that may not necessarily be the truth. They are deceptive a lot of times. For whatever reason.
So I still don't, maybe I just heard it wrong, but I still don't think you answered my question, but some of our listeners have answered the question. And that was,
they don't.
Oh.
Like, I think women expect you to know.
Okay. So I had two of the listeners responded to that question, and one gentleman said, no, he doesn't believe that there is a lot of communication that is going on up front about what people needs are, what their expectations are. And so thank you for, you know, responding to that question, because I really do think that that's one of our driving forces when we talk about, you know, why are individuals not getting married? I don't think they can get past that part. Or why are individuals who are married, why is the divorce rate 51% now? Because, again, I think that communication piece didn't take place in the beginning. And so many couples come into therapy, and when I say, what brings you in? And they say, we just don't communicate well. And I'm like, well, how did you get here? Right? Like, the breakdown in the communication didn't start when you got married, right? Or you just didn't pay attention to it because now you have these different expectations, and those expectations aren't being met, potentially.
Well, definitely, definitely. But like I say, once again, you know, from my dating experience, and I know you and I have had some different conversations on people we've known and the stories that they give you about dates and the stories that I know to be different about the dates that they've gone on. So, like I said, I think sometimes that just speaks to the duplicitous nature of some people. You know, some people don't want to take responsibility for, this is what I really want to do. So if you push me, I'll do it, but then I can go back and say that it wasn't my idea. You know, like you and I discussed the Madonna whore complex in that regard. So these are things that, that you can kind of be aware of from a masculine perspective. You know, like just an example about the women that don't kiss men on the first date. No, you don't kiss them dudes. You don't kiss me. You know, that was for other people. I don't listen to that. So, you know, you didn't kiss Frank, but you'll kiss Steve. So, and we'll see about that. And, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I need to at least test you. Because the moment might come where that's something that's in the wheelhouse.
I hate to say it, but I kind of see, like, where you're going with this, Steve. Like, I think, because initially I was like, I was listening to you and I was thinking, no, no means no, it's always no, and no is a complete sentence. But I think I hear what you're saying, and I do think that a lot of times that this is a case with women, because I think women, I think a lot of times men are very, like, what men say is sort of what it is. There isn't a lot of variation or a lot of bend. So, like, you know, if a guy says, I don't date this kind of woman, he's generally not going to date that type of woman, whereas women will say, well, I don't date short guys, but she might meet a short guy that treats her really well, and then she's telling you how much she's in love with him. So I think that women in certain circumstances, maybe the no isn't always a hard no, but I think, I guess we just have to be careful with that, because like even saying
well,
it feels
yeah, I'm not
uncomfortable
talking about
for me,
felonies.
But I understand what you're
yeah.
saying.
I'm not talking about committing felonies on someone's person. I'm just saying that you know, you may need to expand, you know, your repertoire of when you hear a no. Like, because what will happen is if a woman sees that you are despondent or you her telling you no gets you to retreat, then now she'll view you as a beta and someone that she's not going to respect. So, like, you have to be careful in that dating sphere because women are real adept at using words as weapons. So a lot of times you're told no. No, no, I'm not saying that, but I don't date men, so I don't know about that. So what I'm saying
well,
is,
I do date men, so
you
I
know,
do.
I'm sure, and you know, I'm mentally abusive at times as well. I'm aware of that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just saying in general, you know, you have to be conscious about, you know, sometimes women tell you no to see how you're gonna react, or people tell you no.
Well, I want to go back before we run out of time. This show, Fatima, if you remember. Malik, our caller from earlier, he's posting a question, and his question says, you tell men that you don't touch a check at the door, but you don't want traditional roles. And so he's asking, how can you say you don't touch a check, you don't touch doors, but you don't want to go back to having traditional roles? It's the question he
Well, I would hope that he knows traditional roles encompasses a great multitude of things outside of a check in a door. So, no, I don't want traditional roles. I like to define my own roles in my relationship. And I think that's probably the case for most people, even most people who say they want traditional roles. A lot of times, if you really break it down and start talking to them and asking them about a lot of different things, they don't really want like traditional roles, but maybe there are certain things that would be deemed as traditional. They want those in their relationship. So sure, I 100% own that there are things that most people would call traditional that I like to have in my relationships. But there are also a lot of things that I want to have in my relationships that are not what most people would call traditional. So I like to define my own roles in my relationship.
Oh, I got one quick question. One quick question.
Go ahead,
so Fatima, if you're on a date and it's a revolving door, what you do?
I walk through the revolving door.
So you push the door yourself?
Yeah. I mean, only one person can go through it at a time.
I'm just checking. I don't know. I don't know how this works. I'm just asking.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if he was supposed to go first.
Door.
I didn't know if he was supposed to go first. So he could push it and you come around after him, or you were going to assert yourself.
Oh, no, I mean, and I'm not absurd with it. For instance, I was going to the gym and there was a guy who was way ahead of me, and I saw him open the door and hold it for me. And I was taking my time walking, but since I saw him holding the door, I sped my ass up. Like, I mean, I'm not. I like to think I'm not outrageous. But I am very clear and upfront about, like, you know, what certain things that, you know, that I expect. And if it's not okay with you, that's fine.
You guys, one of the things that Fatima, you spoke to, and actually one of our listeners, she commented on when I posed the question, as it relates to, does she believe that people are communicating more? And she says no, she hasn't been a good communicator in the past, and that's something that she struggled with. But she made mention to struggling with that concept because it's not something that she grew up seeing, that type of interaction between her mom and her stepdad. And so, Fatima, when you say people, you want to define your role and what that looks like, I think that is probably one of the struggles that most of us have in relationships, is that we typically start off modeling the behaviors of what we saw growing up until we're
absolutely
old enough, wise enough to understand that what worked for them, my parents, may not necessarily work for me. And so I have to make some adjustments. And it doesn't necessarily mean that what my parents did was wrong. It just means for me in this day and time, it looks very different. And that may mean I have to pull, you know, some things from the traditional because that fits, but also put this modern twist on it so that I can be healthy and happy and have my expectations met. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. So we only have a few minutes before the wrap-up of the show. Fatima, you go first. What's your takeaway? And then, Steve, I want you to wrap up with what you want our listeners to take away as it relates to social contracts and modern relationships.
So what I'd like people to take away is that in many ways you can have the relationship that you want, but you have to be brave enough to talk about that and be open enough to negotiate a little bit. Piggybacking off what you just said, a lot of times people come into relationships and they think that the way their family of origin did it is the right way. But when you are in partnership, it's not about how his family did it or her family did it that's the right way. How will our family do it? So let's create something that is uniquely us. So that's the take. That's what I hope people take away.
Good stuff, Fatima. What you got, Steve?
Well, basically, if anybody trying to get in a relationship, I suggest that you do your dream profile, and that outlines not only the physical but your protocols and how you're going to behave with your mate as it relates to roles. I think more so than now, the role definitions are more important than they've ever been because we're so fluid in how we can proceed. So once you identify those roles, go over those things with your partner, and you should be able to have a successful relationship.
All right, great stuff, you guys. I really enjoy talking about this topic because I think, again, this is something that we don't typically talk about in relationships. You guys have addressed that there needs to be more discussion between partners, not just intimate partners, but also in friendships. It's important to discuss what your expectation is of that friend. And sometimes, if we were to be truthful, it extends to family members as well. So, you guys, thanks for tuning in to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk this Sunday, and hopefully you guys will tune in next week. Don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. You guys have a blessed week. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.